Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself in both of my endeavors, Bracewell Giuliani and Giuliani Partners. This would have been an interesting thing to do, but it really would have been impossible.
This would have been running for U.S. Senate. And yesterday, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani announced he would not be running for Senate. He already said he wouldn't be running for governor in 2010. And he endorsed Rick Lazio for governor, the former Republican congressman from Long Island. With me now to talk about what Rudy's endorsement means for the governor's race, his own political ambitions, and also to handicap these various statewide races in a very bizarre political year coming up for New York State is Josh Robin, political reporter for New York One. Hey, Josh, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning.
So is this the last we will hear from Rudy Giuliani in terms of his political life? If he's not running for this and he already ran for president and lost, he's got, you know, he would have a pretty clear path, or at least a pretty likely path, to the gubernatorial nomination or the U.S. Senate nomination from the Republican Party last year. Is this it?
Yeah, it seems like it is. You know, he says that you don't know, and, you know, maybe in a few years he could run for something else. But, you know, everyone today is writing his political obituary, and it does seem that it's going to become increasingly unlikely that he's going to want to run for elected office again. He instead wants to make money on his own in the private sector and pay off his campaign debt from his disastrous run for president, and also kind of be as much as he can a power broker in state GOP politics and also in national GOP politics.
When he said in that clip, "I'm enjoying myself in both my endeavors," remind people, what does Rudy actually do these days?
Well, he started two firms. One is a law firm that he says has grown a lot in recent years after having a bit of a downturn during the economy, and the other is a consulting business. He's doing some security consulting, probably most prominently for Rio de Janeiro in their 2016 Olympic bid. And he says he's doing a lot of traveling across the world and the United States, helping people with their business. He still gives speeches on leadership and inspirational speeches. And he says that he's doing pretty well. He wouldn't talk at entire specifics about what he's doing legally, where that is. But suffice it to say, he's making good money and wants to make more good money.
And he spoke extensively yesterday at this news conference about his businesses, how much he's enjoying traveling around the world, enjoying that. And it was kind of striking for someone who used to so relish a political fight. Here's a little more.
This state needs jobs. It needs more jobs and more jobs and more jobs. And in order to do that, you have to understand how to attract business, not drive it away. And Rick understands that.
So Rudy Giuliani endorsing Rick Lazio for governor, but again, sounding like somebody who still relishes a political fight.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, I think he did more in the past. I'm not sure now that he has really the stomach for the raising of the money and the schlepping around New York State and glad handling in this year. It just seems like I'm talking to a bunch of people who are close to him and who know him, and they say he just didn't have it in him this time. He's kind of been carping from the sidelines at the situation that New York finds itself in, but I'm not sure that he has it in him now to want to deal with the legislature and deal with Albany during some very difficult times over the next couple of years. Some really fundamental changes might need to happen within New York if we're going to continue to survive economically, especially north of the city.
It would be interesting to hear from some of our New York Republican listeners. Do you like the idea of Rick Lazio running for governor of New York against David Paterson or perhaps Andrew Cuomo or maybe some other party who comes in and gets the Democratic nomination, or in the abysmal state that the New York Republican Party has been in lately, at least on a statewide basis? Is there any Republican listeners who you are excited about actually running either for U.S. Senate, and Senate's going to be a battleground nationwide, or for governor of New York? 212-433-WNYC. This is for New York Republicans for the next few minutes. Who would you like to see go against Kirsten Gillibrand, assuming she's still the nominee? Who would you like to see go for governor of New York? 212-433-WNYC. WNYC. Do you like the idea of Rick Lazio for governor? Is he politically damaged goods, in your opinion, after his disastrous run for Senate against Hillary Clinton in 2000? There's talk of George Pataki maybe coming back to run for Senate. New York Republicans, who would you like to see on the ticket next November? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For New York One political reporter Josh Robin. And, of course, Josh, Lazio, and it's ironic that Rudy was out there endorsing him yesterday because he famously stepped into the U.S. Senate race to run against Hillary Clinton in 2000 after Rudy dropped out due to a combination of scandal and illness. I don't know if he'll have a better chance this time or not, running against David Patterson or whoever. Why Rick Lazio? Why does he emerge to the potential top of the pack here?
Well, it seems like he can raise good money. It seems like he's been eyeing this for a long time. You know, a lot of people don't know him still, even after he ran against Hillary Clinton almost a decade ago.
People... Right. The only thing people remember is that moment in the televised debate where Lazio actually walked over to Hillary Clinton with something asking her to sign, some pledge about campaign finance.
That's it.
But it was interpreted as a guy getting in a woman's space.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe the other thing people knew him for is that he was always described as boyish looking. And now people are noting that he looks a little older, has kind of gray around the temples. You know, the other problem is that there was, for weeks and months, Republicans were talking about Chris Collins, the Erie County executive, but he kind of fumbled in the last few weeks and made what was perceived to be an anti-Semitic remark about the Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver. So some people are starting to write him off now. There are other people whose names have been floated around, but none may be as good as Rick Lazio, and, you know, he has roots in Long Island, which has traditionally been the party's base. He has money on his own. He's been working for the last several years at J.P. Morgan Chase, still has a place on Long Island, but also lives in Manhattan. And people are starting to coalesce around him, at least the chairs of a bunch of Republican committees across the state. I'm not sure that anyone else is going to emerge, and it looks like it's Lazio's for the taking as of now.
Let's see what Tony in Woodbury is thinking about this. Tony, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Brian. You're welcome. Yeah, I would like to see Peter King from Long Island run against Gillibrand. I think he's an excellent choice. He's gone a little bit over to the neocon side over the last couple of years in the Bush administration, but frankly, he's something of a libertarian Republican who I think would appeal to middle-of-the-road Democrats.
Tony, thank you very much. And I'm hearing Peter King's name, too, as a possible candidate for U.S. Senate from New York. Josh Robin, are you?
You know, Giuliani mentioned it yesterday. King had talked about it before, and then he said that he, I think late this summer, he said that he would instead run for re-election to his House seat and maintain his seniority there. He might give it another look now that Giuliani is not going to run for Senate either. Another person who is a possibility is George Pataki. He certainly wants to run for president again, but it's unclear now whether he would use the Senate as a stepping stone first.
Wait, you said run for president again.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely interested in that. I'm not sure that he's recognized at this point that it might not be in the cards, but he is widely thought to be eyeing doing that again. He's traveled in the Midwest, and he's still thinking about that.
Peter King is interesting. He's well known. He's getting well known nationally for exactly the reason that Tony from Woodbury just said in his call, which is that he's become, or maybe always was, something of a neocon on foreign policy. And I wonder how much you think foreign policy will play into the U.S. Senate race when it's presumably Gillibrand against whichever Republican.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's going to play a big role unless, God forbid, we have another attack, God forbid, or if there's
because we certainly have. You know, we just did a segment yesterday with Frank Gaffney from a conservative foreign policy think tank talking about what he calls the gang of 41 in the Senate on foreign policy, which is all 40 Republicans plus Joe Lieberman. And they are very vocally opposing President Obama on placing a time limit on the troop buildup, at least to begin a withdrawal in Afghanistan, on his anti-nuclear proliferation policies. So there is a strong dissenting foreign policy voice on the Republican side of the aisle in the U.S. Senate right now. But whether or not they want to make a thing out of it in a race in New York State, I guess that's the question.
Yeah, I think that right now the economy is number one, and I think that Gillibrand is vulnerable in this growing story about the health care bill and how the mayor and the governor and others are claiming that New York is getting shafted by the Senate version of the bill by a lot of money in Medicaid dollars. There also might be something to be made of the fact that she is so close to Charles Schumer, who's certainly popular, but she's been carped on for being kind of his lapdog. I'm not sure that foreign policy, unless there's some major changes within our headlines, is really going to trump the kind of bread and butter issues when the election comes about.
The other thing about Peter King is that he's sort of from the Lou Dobbs wing of the Republican Party when it comes to, and Dobbs is an independent, so I don't mean to actually paint him in partisan terms, but when it comes to immigration policy, right, King is very outspoken on wanting to be much tougher on illegal immigrants. And I think that that would become an issue. Who it would help, I don't know, but I think that would inevitably become an issue if he was running statewide for U.S. Senate.
I completely agree with you. I think that if he were to run, he'd have to tack left pretty hard and also hope that there's some divisive primary with Gillibrand where she can use up a lot of her resources and money and come out into the general election bruised. I think that Gillibrand probably has to worry more right now about a primary. And, you know, there are people who are eyeing it, even though the president has done a good job of clearing the field. You still haven't heard the last, maybe, of Bill Thompson, who ran surprisingly close against Bloomberg this past November, and who is seriously considering running against Gillibrand, and people might be giving him a second look, and they can seize on statements that Gillibrand has made when she was a conservative member of the House of Representatives before Patterson plucked her a couple of years ago.
Marvin in Bridgehampton, you're on WNYC. Marvin, thanks for calling.
And thank you for taking my call. I think you gave us a perfect segue into the candidate I'd like to recommend. When you spoke about Rick Lazio, and I think your question was whether or not he was damaged goods. I think if we look back to John Faso, who ran against Hevesy, and I think lost by, I think, something less than 1% of the total popular vote that was cast. Unfortunately, he also ran against Spitzer and unfortunately got trounced. But here you have a man that was, had he taken either position, we would have had the same a good controller or a good governor in place. I think he brings to the table something very unique for the state of New York in particular. One, a total understanding of the workings of this dysfunctional assembly and Senate that we have. And number two, an intellectual conservatism. He's not a lunatic. He's not that I want to call Peter King a lunatic, but your guest question as to whether he was a Lou Dobbs type of Republican. I think John Faso is a moderate conservative that can be meaningful for this state.
Marvin, I'm going to leave it there. And Faso, let's see. Faso did run for governor, Josh, right?
He did. He lost big time against Spitzer in 06.
And maybe it's time for I mean, Faso is all the things that Marvin says he is. He's a conservative voice. I don't know if he's, you know, in the Lou Dobbs wing, if you will, when it comes to immigration or not. He's a generally respected voice. But maybe there's this kind of been there, done that view that the party leaders would take of Faso because he ran and lost.
Maybe. You know, that was a very tough year versus Spitzer, who was very, very popular when he ran. With Faso, I'm hearing more that he's eyeing running for controller again, and he actually has a decent shot. He can seize on, you know, the economy. He's pretty much well known for his economic views. As far as whether he's kind of this right wing guy, he does have some pretty conservative social views, but he didn't stress that in 06, and he's not going to stress that, I don't think, if he runs in New York. I mean, he realizes where New York is when it comes to social issues. I think actually he'd be fairly formidable against Tom DiNapoli running for controller.
And just before we go, the bizarre thing about 2010 going into this statewide election year in New York is how many of the major players were not elected. So David Paterson got his job after Elliot Spitzer left. Tom DiNapoli, the current controller, got his job after Alan Hevesy had to leave. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand got her job after Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. I mean, my goodness.
And Dick Ravitch, who was appointed during it and came about after the Court of Appeals said that the governor was within his constitutional right to appoint a lieutenant governor.
That's right. Why is the Republican bench so shallow?
I think it's very tough demographically within the state, and also the Republicans haven't done a very good job as recruiting young members, and they've been on the downswing within New York. I think that they kept, I know that they kept their majority in the state Senate only by, a lot of people will say abandoning their conservative principles and siding more with big spending and with being very close to unions. And I think that right now, like the Republicans are nationally, they need to go through a little bit of a time of figuring out where they are exactly. Then again, this is, as you know, and you've seen around the state these last couple of months, this is very difficult times for any kind of incumbent. So you never know what can happen in the general election if the economy stays the way it is and if the budget, the state budget that's passed, isn't what a lot of people would want it to be.
Get a couple of more quick voices on here. Janet in Newburg, you have a Republican up-and-comer, right?
Yes, good morning. I'd like to know what you think of Ed Diana, the Orange County executive. I believe he's in his third term. He was just reelected. And I do like Lazio. I have met him a couple of times when he came to Newburgh when he was running for the Senate against Hillary Clinton. But I also think that Ed Diana seems to have really been able to help Orange County, particularly some of the areas that have been, troubled spots. And also, I think that he has a lot of good business experience. And additionally, one thing that I think is really important for a Republican is that he or she be able to reach out to various communities, because I know that has been quite a serious problem with Republicans.
And Janet, I'm going to leave it there because our time is just about up. David in Queens, who we're not going to have time for, was also calling in to suggest Guy Molinari, the former Staten Island Borough President. You ever hear the name Ed Diana before, Josh? You know him? We have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think he runs a restaurant in Middletown. I think that's where he's from. He taught. But to be quite frank, I have not heard his name being floated by anyone in GOP circles who are looking to run people statewide next year.
All right. Well, Rudy officially out. We've heard some of the names who might be in on the Republican side of the statewide races coming up in a bizarre election year, no doubt, in 2010 in New York, with people not even elected starting out in most of the positions. And we thank Josh Robin, New York One political reporter. Thanks, Josh. Brian Lehrer in WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Stephen Moore from the Wall Street Journal editorial board on Wall Street and the health reform bill. Stay with us.